Hey everyone, welcome to episode 52 of Thomas and the Bible. 52 episodes. Seems like, for some reason, 52 seems like more of a milestone than 50. I don't know why. 50 was pretty sweet, but 52 is like cards in a deck, you know, weeks in a year, I'm pretty sure. States, 52 states. So that's just something about that number. You know, it's a good milestone. Excuse me. Okay, we're on Joshua 10, and there's nothing new happening, so I'll just get right to the reading. Except for the usual, thank you so much for the reviews. I've gotten even more, and it's just so great. And thanks again, and keep them coming, please. Anyone who hasn't done it, I think it's really helping. Okay, now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai. Sorry, I seem to be a little stuffed up. I didn't notice till I turned on a thing and realized I had to start speaking. So, I'll work through that. Had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. That they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and, in case you were wondering, unto Debir, king of Eglon. Yes, he sent to him, too. Come up unto me and help me. This is the message this guy sent. He's distraught about Israel. He's killing everybody. Come and the people that, oh, I'll explain later. Come up unto me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So let me go ahead and just point out what I think might have been a tactical error here. So if you remember, Gibeon were the ones that sort of tricked the Israelites into being their allies, you know, by saying they weren't from, oh, we're not from here. We're traveling and we'd like you to make a binding promise that you'll never hurt us. For no reason. Just, you know, just, it's what we do with people we run into when we're from distant lands, you know. So it was those people. Sorry. And now, all the other kingdoms around are incredibly worried about how much murder the Israelites have been accomplishing lately. So they decide to attack whom? The Gibeon people. Okay, so let me just explain why this is stupid. I don't know if this is a product of just the ape minds of people back then, or, I mean, we have ape minds now, but they were even more apey and stupid back then, but... So everybody goes to attack Gibeon, the place that allied with Israel. So you're definitely going to have some resistance from the Gibeon people when you're attacking them. Plus, in all likelihood, the Israelites are going to come save them, right? So you're fighting two people. Whereas if you just attack the Israelites, then it's likely that the Gibeon people aren't really going to... I mean, I would think they'd be hesitant to protect the a-holes with whom they just made an agreement to avoid being killed. If you remember, they just didn't want to die, so they made an agreement. But I don't think they're really going to spend too many lives trying to help them. And maybe you could even get them on board to help you kill the Israelites. Like, what? Isn't that a much better move? It's just, it's ridiculous. Why would you attack Gibeon? It's so dumb. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to camp to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Sure enough. And this is even worse. At least if you're getting tons of kingdoms together, lay siege to the city and don't let any messengers get out. You know, like that would be step one there. If you're going to try to attack them, at least try not to let the Israelites know that you're doing that, you know? I wonder if somebody came out and was like, hey, where are you going? Where am I going? I'm just to the store, to the post office. I got some things to do. Okay, so you're definitely not going to tell the Israelites about this, right? Who? Tell who? Israelites. I've never heard of... Who? Oh, okay, he's good. He's good to go. Let him go. He can move along. yeah. I don't know if that was... that was the situation they were in. Excuse me. I read that. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Sorry, another note. How valiant are your men, mighty men of valor, if pretty much God just cheats for you every time? You know, like, I'm pretty sure I would be the bravest soul alive if I knew that I had the only all-powerful being in the universe sort of backing me up. Like, I think I'd be pretty brave at that point. I don't think calling these mighty men of valor just because they cheat and have God on their side, that's easy. If anything, it's the people on the other side who are getting their asses kicked. They're the valiant ones. They're fighting against the creator of the universe. Could there be anything, like, more brave than trying to do that? That's not possible. I mean, it might be dumb, but it's still, that couldn't... That's valiant to me. Not the people I've got on their side. That's the easiest thing ever. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah, and unto Makkeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from the heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And I like to think that last little bit was sort of God wanting credit. Like, actually, Joshua's first draft was, and then the Lord helped a little bit by throwing some rocks at them. And the Lord must have been like, whoa, 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 whoa. Really, is that how you perceive that situation? Is that really the Lord helped a little bit? Are you? I'll have you know, and I know this because I have the benefit of being, me. I'll have you know, I actually killed more people with my little rocks, as you call them, than your entire army did with swords. Ungrateful asshole. In fact, you know what? You know what? Write that down. That's going in the book. Say that. Write that down, right there. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the crappy... don't have to put crappy, I guess. Whom the wussy children of Israel... whatever. Children of Israel slew with the sword. Say that. Put that in there. You know? You know those rocks? They weren't even pointy. They were totally non-pointy rocks. You guys had swords. The Lord helped. What a dick. So that's how that got in there. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. It's always a good sign when someone's peddling this garbage at you that they're telling you something miraculous, that they're instantly defensive. I love that. Did you hear that line? Were you there when I read that line? Is not it written in the book of Jasher? Look, we wouldn't lie to you. This totally happened. Also, awesome note in the notes that I read. Excuse me. In the Chinese, this is the note, quote, "In the Chinese history, it is reported that in the time of their seventh emperor, Yao, the sun did not set for 10 days, and that men were afraid the world would be burnt, and there were great fires at that time. And through the time, and though the time of the sun's standing still is enlarged beyond the bounds of truth, yet it seems to refer to this fact, and was manifestly about the same time." Yeah, I love this. The part, there's a lot that's good about that, but I love the part where he just casually says, "And though the time, you know, they claim 10 days, and that's a little enlarged beyond the bounds of truth, you know." Because, yeah, the sun stopping for a day is just completely reasonable, but not 10 days. Please, that's, what do you take me for? 10 days? It's impossible. Like, whatever power is stopping the earth, by the way, not the sun, stopping the earth, you know, because the sun might be moving relative to the center of the galaxy or whatever, but it's, you know, in this case, it's the earth that's doing the moving. It's not the sun. So they didn't stop. God didn't stop the sun. He stopped the earth, apparently. But whoever is doing that is somehow able to do that impossible thing, but only for a day. Because, like, 10 days, I can't do that. That's too much. A day, sure. But 10 days, no, that's just no way. "And there was no day like it before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened before it or after that, that you know of." You know, what if it happened several times after you died, whoever is writing this. "And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal." That just seems weird. "Unto the camp to Gilgal." Whatever. "But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, 'The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah.' Joshua said, 'Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand.' And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter," slaying them with a very great slaughter, "till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them and entered into fenced cities. And the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel." Yeah, that's, I guess when you kill everybody, it demands a certain level of respect. "Then said Joshua, 'Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave.' And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass that when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, 'Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings.' And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, 'Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight.' And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day," which was 7 days after they were put there. "And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword." They use a lot of swords. They don't use spears or anything. I guess they just, that's their policy. "And the king thereof, he utterly destroyed." He didn't just kind of destroy the king. He utterly destroyed him. "Them and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain. And he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel with him, unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but he did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that they had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people, until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and stopped there for a little bit, and killed everybody, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it, and fought against it, and they took it on that day. They sent lots of postcards and took pictures like their stops along the murder trail. Smote it with the edge of the sword, as usual, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. Joshua keeps a breakneck pace here. Do they ever rest? Also, I have a question. How did the Israelites go from being a group of complete losers who were just getting owned by the Egyptians to this, like, highly trained elite military unit that just goes around just destroying people without a single casualty? God. That's how. That's the answer. I bet you didn't expect that, but that's my answer. God did this. That's how they did that. It was God. It's God's greatness. And Joshua went up from Eglon. Yeah, you thought that was just a rhetorical question, but no, I had an answer. God. That's my answer. And to Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it and smote it with... Quiz question, with what did they smote it? The edge of the butter knife. And the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining. He even hunted down, like, all the souls that were just floating around. Did we get everybody? They're like, yeah, everybody's gone. We got everybody. Oh, okay. I just thought I... there's a soul! Get it! Ah! Like, sniffing out all the souls and killing them, too. With the edge of the sword. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and fought against it, and he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. I don't know if I already read that, or... No, I don't think I did, actually. I think that's just a repetition, like it always does. And left none remaining, as he had done to... Insert name of next town. So he did to... Insert name of last town. And to the king thereof. As he had also done to... Insert another city. And to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and of all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon, and all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. And on to chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ashjaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountain, and of the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite, and just say a shitload of people. He sent to a bunch of people, all the kingdoms, just say that, and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpeh. And they went out, they and all the hosts with them. So it looks like we're going to have another fantastic meeting of the minds here. I wonder what genius plan these idiots are going to concoct this time. Because so far all the plans have been great. It's been trick the Israelites into signing a treaty with you, or not even that, just agreeing to not kill you and just be their slaves. That was the best plan so far. So that ought to tell you what's been going on. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together, a few innings, at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. So I'm just going to take a complete guess at what happened. So a bunch of these kings have gotten together, right? And they're like, we got to finally do something about the Israelites. And I'll bet you $5 that they just completely destroyed the Israelites and their weak-ass God and everything they stood for in the end. And I bet you, you know, that's going to be it. They killed all of us, the end. Like, that's the end of their book. That's what I have my money on. There's no way the Israelites are going to defeat them, too. Like, that would happen. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Battles are getting easier and easier for them. They don't even have to show up anymore. And thou shalt... Oh, crap. I don't know how to say this word. H-O-U-G-H. I want to say, like, hoff. We have rough, we have through, we have though. There's all kinds of different words that have those letters, and they're all different. So I don't know. Thou shalt hough their horses, and burn their chariots with fire, and of fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly. And they fell upon them, and the Lord delivered them unto the hand of Israel, who smote them, and chased them into great Zidon, and unto Misrephathaim, and unto the valley of Mizpeh eastward. And they smote them until they left none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He huffed, and he puffed. He hoed. Is it huffed? No, it's not huffed. Hoed. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I have no idea. Maybe that's a word that normal people know, but I just don't know what it is. Yeah, coughed. That's another one, it looks like. H-O-U-G-H. Hoff. Their horses. He something their horses. I don't know what. I mean, you fill in the blank. Let that take you where it takes you. And they burned their chariots with fire. They could just use their chariots. They just borrowed them. And Joshua turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all these kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire, and all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that Joshua did burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel... all the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, but neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all the kings he took, and smote them and slew them. There's some weak kings. They just get slain. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. You don't say! You don't say! There was not a single city that made peace with the murdering bastards. What do you know? That is just... wow. The injustice of it all. No one made peace with just a pack of murderous monkeys that just goes around just burning and killing people. Nobody made peace with them? Except that one group that tricked them? Wow, incredible. You don't say. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. Oh, I see. That's why they didn't. Well, it was either that or... it was either that a mysterious being hardened their hearts. Or, I'm just saying, or I'm not... that's a possibility, one. But just or... or is just the fact that the Israelites just go around murdering everyone. That's another possibility of why people didn't try to make peace with them. I'm just brainstorming possibilities. You know, that's the first one, that the Lord hardened their hearts. That's sure. That's a possibility. Another one is the fact that you're assholes and no one would want to make peace with you when you just kill people. That's another one, another possibility. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah. And from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Yeah, it took a little break from just being constantly killed. So that's that chapter. Chapter 12 sucks. I'm just going to warn you right now. It's let's just say it's a little Moses influenced, we'll just say. Now these are the kings... you're going to know right away. Just listen to the first part of this verse. Now these are the kings of the land, which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon on the plain of the east. What? A recap of people's names? Of people who were involved in something that just happened? This is groundbreaking. Wow, this is really unfamiliar territory for the Bible. I don't know. Wow, how do you even approach something this new? You know? The Bible's going to list people that they've completely wiped out. So how are they relevant? You know, what are we going to do with this information? These people were killed, they're like, years ago, and there's nothing left of them. So I guess he's just giving us the courtesy of letting us know who they killed, I suppose. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, ruled of Aroes upon the bank of the river, and Arnon in the middle of the river, from the half Gilead on the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And he has to go through five sentences describing exactly where each one is from, because that's important. And from the plain of the sea, the Chinnoth on the west, and the sea of the plain, even the salt on the east of the sea, the way to Beth Jezimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth-Pigah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt in San Francisco and at Eldrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Silcah, and in all of Bashan, under the border of the Gershonites and the Machanathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of God, of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These are the things.
Sorry. Double yawn.
These are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on the side of Jordan from the west, from Baal-Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, even under the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for possession according to their divisions, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness. And in the south country, sorry, I just stopped caring once it gets to this stuff. Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, the king of Jericho, one king of Ai, which is Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one king of Hebron, one, the king of Jarmuth, one, king of Lachish, one. I don't know why it's saying this. It's O-N-E, by the way, not W-O-N. So just keep saying one after each of them. The king of Elgon, one. The king of Gezer, one. What? The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedor, one. The king of Hormah, one. The king of Gedor, one. King of Libna, one. The king of, I don't know, one. The Bethel, king of Tapsal, Hefer. Aphek. Okay, you know what the sentences are. I'll just read the names. Aphek, king of Lasharon, Madon, Hazor, Shimron, Ashaf, Tanakh, Megiddo, Kadesh, Jokinam of Carmel, Dor, Gilgal, Tizra, all the kings 30 and 1. So 31 kings they destroyed. So that was terrible. Hopefully, that actually this one's not really any better, but we'll see. So it's a little better. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. This is chapter 13 of Joshua. Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. And I didn't make that up, by the way. That's exactly what I just read. He was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, You know, you're kind of old and a little bit stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. What a dick. He's like, God comes down, so he's got like a clipboard, you know, he's not paying attention. All right, Joshua, we've got a lot more to conquer for the next few years here. Oh, wait a minute. What? How the hell did you get all old and disgusting? Oh, damn it. I forgot. That's right. I forgot how feeble you stupid humans are. Ugh, man. I might have messed up there. You guys are just crap. You're already dead and, like, old. So you don't have any more fighting in you, huh? You're pretty much... I can't talk you into fighting anymore? All right, well. Guess I'll have to find another one of you idiots to do some more killing for me for the next 100 years. Because, jeez. Whew. You guys are wusses. You just fall apart at the slightest couple hundred years. All it takes is about 100 years, and then you're just dead. What was I even reading? I don't even know. This is the land that yet remaineth, and all the borders of the Philistines and the Al-Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, 5 lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, and the Eshkelonites and the Gittites and the Ekronites and the Aavites, from the south, the Stalactites and the Stalagmites, all the land of the Canaanites and Mira that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, where Studio Ghibli comes from, and all Lebanon, toward the sun rising from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon. Sorry, this is just terrible, a bunch of names and stuff. It's not very easy to read, especially because I'm feeling kind of tired and annoyed at this stupid Bible. Under Mount Hermon, under the entering into Hamath. Also, by the way, Joshua must be wondering... Didn't you just say, God, you started off this little interaction of ours saying I'm old and just a sack of crap. If so, why are you wasting my time telling me exactly what it is that I'm not going to do? Like, I understand we have all these cities I still need to kill, but I can't do it. I'm too old. You're going to find someone else, right? Oh, yeah, I'm just letting you know that, no, I'm out. I don't need to know. You just go find somebody else. You know, you don't need to forward the emails to me or whatever. I've got it. I'm just going to die. Is that okay with you, God? Can I just sit here and just die like in peace, not have you bothering me, reminding me what I didn't get to in my life? You know, like how many innocent people I left alive? I know, it hurts me. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephothmaim, that's easy, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore...
Dude, it's triple yawn. Wish I'd heard of.
Triple yawn, I'm sorry. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes. Each of the 9 tribes has 9 lives, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba, unto Dibon. Ah, about ready for this to be done. And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, under the border of the children of the Ammon. And Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and the Manahemites, all man, Hermon, and Bashan, and Salkah, and the king of Og, and the Bashan, which reigned in Azeroth, and Edrei, who remained of the remnants of giants. For these did Moses smite and cast them out. Oh, now he's reminding Joshua what Moses did. He's like, well, Joshua, I know you're old and dead, but at your age, Moses was still conquering people, you know. So, I mean, I understand, you know, different person, but you could try. You know, nevertheless, children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites nor the Machathites, but the Geshurites and the Machathites dwelt among Israelites unto this day. Unto this day, a week from when this originally happened. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. How much inheritance did we get? Oh, none. None inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are the inheritance, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families, and their coast was from Aroer, that is on the back of the river of Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain by Medeba, Heshbon and all their cities that are in the plain, Dibon and Barmath Baal and Bar Beth Bel Meon Melonballer, I don't know, and Jehazoth and Kedemoth and Mephath and Kirjathaim and Sibma and Zarethijahar and the Mount of Valley and Beth Peor and Ashdoth Pisgah and Beth Jeshemoth and all the cities of the plain and all the kingdoms of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. Once again, God's just going over Moses' many achievements that Joshua is never going to get close to. Yeah, okay, I get it. Moses murdered a lot of people, yeah. I understand. I murdered a lot, too. Maybe not in the tens of thousands like he did, but close. You know, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. Among the border, the children of Reuben was Jordan, and on the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad according to their families. And their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon. I hope you're remembering who's getting what. You know, because you're going to need to know that. Like, who got what land that they just stole. You're going to need to know that. And you're going to need to know that their coast was Jazer. That was the coast they got. And their coasters were Jazerers. And all the cities of Gilead, and of half the land of the children of Ammon, unto Aroer, that is before Rabbath, and from Heshbon unto Ramathimah, and Bittanim, and from Mephanim unto the border of Debir, and in the valley Bethram, and Bethnimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, the king of Heshbon, Jordan and his border, that's so boring. Even under the edge of the sea of Chinnereth, on the other side of Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities and their villages. Okay, almost done. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe, unto the half-tribe of Manasseh. And this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And their coast was from Menahem, Al-Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, of Bashan, of what the? All the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 70 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Machir by the families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance under the plains of Moab, on the other side by Jordan, by Jericho, eastward. But under the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord of God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Ugh. All right, I'm done. That chapter sucked, and that reading kind of sucked, so pardon me for not being patient when I read through all the shitty names that I don't care about, that no one will ever care about ever again. So that's it. I hope Joshua, I really hope it's not going to start to decline like all of Moses did so quickly. I hope Joshua keeps it up, because there's definitely some fun, awesome, stupid stuff in Joshua. I just hope it lasts. But all good things must come to an end. Someday Joshua will stop being really stupid and entertaining, and we'll just be boring, like Moses. All right, guys. I'll see you next week. By the way, I've picked something up on my Thursday schedule for Thursdays, so I can't record this Thursday and release Friday. It looks like I'm going to have to record Friday and release Friday night. So I hope that's okay with everyone, but I think that's just the best way it's going to work out. So, alrighty, I'll see you next time. Thomas and the Bible out.